Welcome to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground. A place to get into the word of God so the word of God can get into you. This is the place where repentance starts, where revival begins. And who am I? I'm just the voice of one calling out saying, repent. You know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the underground. All right, you guys. Hope everybody is doing well. Hope everybody's life is going well. It's been a while. It's been a while. But you know, everybody busy doing the kingdom of God, man. We doing kingdom business out here in these streets. So that's all it is. Got somebody calling me right now. I don't know why people call me when I send them the link to the underground at 6 p.m. and then they want to call me. Ain't that crazy? Be playing. Okay. Right. It's funny. I send you the link to the underground and it says 6 p.m. and then you call me at 6:01. Why? Why do people do that? Do y'all listen? Do y'all understand what do y'all can y'all read the signs of the times? What's going on right now at 6 o'clock? And I hope the person hear this recording too, because they'll know I'm talking about them. Don't call me at 6 o'clock when you know I'm getting on the underground. It's crazy. Especially if you're a dude. I come to talking a little bit of noise today because I just want to make the devil a little mad. That's for those who haven't heard the voice in a while, I just come to talk a little noise to the devil. That's it. Let him know that we out here doing what we need to be doing. And I come to encourage soldiers tonight. Soldiers, those who are in warfare. That's who I'm coming to encourage tonight. If you are a civilian in the United States of America, I'm not here to talk to you. Log off. I'm not here to talk to civilians. I'm not here to talk to everyday life people who trying to get comfortable in America, who is seeking America's dreams. This is not the channel for you. So take your nutty professor finger and press the exit button right now. Because the word of God is going to offend you tonight. The more that God takes me different places, and I'm starting to see that there's a harvest of people who loves the true, authentic word of God. They love when you talk bold. They love when you don't sugarcoat anything, and they praise God for his word. There's a harvest of people that is still praising the God of the Bible. They still honor the God of the Bible that loves his word. We have to become a people who is going to honor God, who's going to worship God despite our feelings, despite our intellect, despite what we think that we may seem that is right. There's a way that seem right unto a man, but the end there is death. If you're coming into the underground, go, there you go. Appreciate that. You know, we have an intellectual culture that we are amongst. That's what we have going on. Brilliance. Studious. They should have been in the movie The Great Debaters. That's the type of culture that we have. The Great Debaters. A lot of
A lot of
people.
people.
Welcome. If you coming in, go ahead, put your mic on mute. We got some new timers, so they don't know what they doing. Yeah, there you go. Come on in. Have a seat. Raylan, Riley. Is that Riley? Is that one of my youth? Yeah, that's the, okay. Welcome. Come on in. I don't have no ushers to sit you down, so find a seat somewhere and just come on in. Thank you very much. You know, I like it when I was yeah, oh, okay, Raylan. I like it when you're doing worship and the mics go out and you don't have to worry about mics and you don't have to worry about sound systems and you don't have to worry about is the service gonna be all right, you know? So I'm starting to get, you know, I'm starting to feel like a foreigner over here. But I read the word and it told me I'm just sojourning through this land anyways. This is not my home, and I'm really starting to feel that way. I'm really starting to embody that. You ever just be around people, or you be at work, or you just be driving, or you sitting in traffic, and you just disgusted. The atmosphere is getting on your nerves. Nobody's saying nothing to you, and nobody doing nothing to you, but the atmosphere is getting on your nerves. You know what that atmosphere is? The fallen world. You're starting to. I'm talking to people who are really starting to be disgusted. You're starting to see this atmosphere as an abomination. Let me tell you why. Because the closer and the more in tune you try to get with the will of God and try to walk with God, you start to understand, you know what? This ain't it. Shout out to my boy, Corey. Shout out to my girl Teresa. Shout out to my boy Antho. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Morgan up in here. Shout out to Riley up in here. Just want to give a quick shout out to everybody. That's all. Shout out to everybody who up in here tonight. I appreciate it. You know, y'all could have been anywhere, but y'all decided to be here at the underground. Let's see. Who's that trying to come in? Somebody come in. I'm letting people in real quick. Y'all hold on real quick. Let me make sure everybody. Who's this right? Oh, shout out to my boy all the way from Uganda. What's up, Mike? Already, man. Come on in with the oh man. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. We trying to just go. What's up, brother? Hey, that's this was the guy who drove me all around Uganda. I really appreciate that, my brother.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me.
No doubt, man. I just wanted to invite you to welcome you to the underground. This is my underground family. These, when you see me in Uganda, these people right
Okay.
here. Yeah.
Oh,
You see
that
these?
is so good.
This is my family right here.
Oh,
Yes, sir. This is my family.
okay.
So, anyways, I just want to welcome you to the underground place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground, a place to get into the word of God before the word of God to get into you. Who am I? I'm just the voice of one calling out saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mike looking at me like, man, what are you saying?
I'm so grateful. Thanks for inviting me. I'm really so grateful to join such a meeting, such a Bible study.
Yeah.
Indeed, I'm so much honored.
Already, brother. Well, check this out. You can put your mic on mute. You can take your camera off if you want to. Just sit back, relax. This ain't no democracy. So shout out to Rush Hour.
Oh.
But yeah, you can just chill.
Okay.
Already, man. I'm gonna get into the word real quick. But anyways, back to the word that I never left. You know, that I never left. Here's the thing, my brothers and sisters. We have to start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Let me say that again. It is time for you to start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because the more darkness this world becomes, and we know that's what's happening, it's not going to get better. Okay? Let me
Okay.
prophesy some to y'all.
It's gonna get worse. There goes some prophecy for you. It's gonna get darker. That's what's gonna happen. It may get a little more intense. Your walk may get more intensified. Why? Because the enemy is at war. We at war. That's why Timothy got a letter from his OG Paul, and he was telling him, "My good soldier," and that's where we gonna be at today. Go ahead and let's slide up in here with this word. I was tired before I got on the underground. Now I done got my energy. Hey Mike, do me a favor. Can you put your mic on mute for me? My brother.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Because it'd be echoing a little bit. That's all. Yes, thank you for doing that for me. So yeah, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now I've been reading Corinthians, right? I've been studying 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. I'm in Galatians now. But when I began to read Corinthians this time around, I started to see how Paul was a bold man of God when he was writing these people. I mean, he was bold, my brothers and sisters. He was just telling them like it is. He was telling them how to get the church in order. He was telling them how to conduct themselves amongst people. He was telling them on how to deal with certain sin that's around them. And he wasn't sugarcoat nothing. You know what I mean? He wasn't Kool-Aid nothing. He was giving it to them straight with no chaser. See, here's the thing about the word of God, my brothers and sisters. When it hits you, shout out to all my people who used to be in them clubs taking them shots. You know, when you used to take those shots and you hit it, and it's like, ah, it hits your throat. That's how the word of God go be too. It's go hit you. And some of y'all, because you are a beginner, when you take that first shot of the word, you all dizzy and dozy already. You a light work. I'm gonna need you to start getting drunk off the word. You need to take more than one shot of the word. What do I mean by that? That little Instagram post, that little Bible study Instagram that you got going on, that you just read that little scripture from your favorite page, that can't do that. We can't sustain ourselves off that no more. That ain't gonna work. That little 10-minute prayer service you got going on with your personal life, that ain't gonna work no more, soldier. I want you to start picturing yourself in Iraq in the middle of the war zone, because that's where you at right now. I'm painting a picture of reality to you. I'm finna be like Picasso tonight. So just stay there. I'm being Picasso right now. You may not see the perfect picture right now, but by the end of this message, you go step back and see, oh, okay, now I see it. And I'm gonna just sign off my name at the bottom of it and you can hang it up. Check out what Paul wrote to your boy Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young person through study, but you know, the scholars, I don't know who these scholars are, but I'll be, checking them out sometime. When he got this letter, Timothy was in his 30s. That's what the scholars say. What scholars? I don't know. They, them Andrews and Peters and the Dr. Robinson, those scholars. That's who said it. Are they legit? I don't know. Ask your mama. But look, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Timothy, my dear son. Now we already understand. See, when you're reading this, you got to get personal with it. You got to act like this is a father talking to you. This is your mama talking to you. Well, however you gotta get personal with it for you to open up your eyes, open up your ears, open up your heart to understand that this letter is just not some four-page letter that Aaliyah wrote. This is a letter that you need to take to heart. Some of y'all be reading these letters. I'm telling you, I'm sending you a four-page. That ain't this. This a letter that can get help you with your soul. That four-page letter was just to help you with your relationships. This is a real letter for your soul, for your heart. He's trying to give you some experience. He's trying to prepare you for what's ahead, my brothers and sisters. All right, let's keep on moving and grooving through this word. And I hope y'all got a little bit of time. To my Ugandan family, I know it's 2 o'clock a.m. over there. You see that word, but see that word to get you up. Bear with me, okay? Okay, it says in his word, it says, "Be strong through the grace that God gives you in Jesus Christ." God is going to give you grace, my brothers and sisters. Let me go ahead and tell you this real quick. There are certain things that every prayer may not get answered like the way you want it to get answered. Let me go ahead and prophesy that to you. There's some prayers that may not get answered like you want it to get answered. Well, what that mean? His grace is going to get you through that. Can you imagine what our egos would be if God answered every prayer? Touch your neighbor and say every prayer. Can you imagine? Just think about that for a minute. That if God answered every single prayer that you prayed. I had to laugh at that. Because I remember back in my immature days, I will never lie again. I will never lie. In my immature days, when I was asking God for just some crazy things. Yeah, I was just asking, didn't know his word that much, so I was just asking him for all type of fleshly things. Asking him for all type of things that I know. Oh my God, thank you God for saying no. Thank you God for saying no. See, tonight, let's just give him a praise for saying no. Every once in a while, let's just thank God for thank you, God, for saying no to that job. Thank you, God, for saying no to that relationship. Thank you, God, for saying no to that extra money. Thank you, God, for saying no for, you know, I wanted to move in that town, but thank you, God, for saying no. You know? Just thank you. Is that my baby? Jelly Bean, put it on mute because I can hear rain. But anyways, you know what I'm saying? That's my baby girl, Rain. She's starting to talk a little bit. Well, she thinks she know how to talk. So, yeah, we just got to thank God for saying no, my brothers and sisters. So let's keep on moving. But I want you to know, it's the grace of God. It is the grace of God that's getting you through this time in life right now. Okay? It's not that you are so strong. It's not that you are so independent. It's not that you are so classy. It's not that you are so bossy. It's not that you know how to move out here in these streets. It's not that. Let me go ahead and tap you on your shoulder real quick and let you know it is the grace of God that's getting you through this situation. It is the grace of God that's allowing you to raise that kid. It is the grace of God that's allowing you to stay bonded in that marriage like you staying in that marriage. It is the grace of God that's allowing you to do that ministry. That's what that is. Don't let them comments and don't let them DMs blow your head up. It is the grace of God. Don't let them hearts blow your head up. It is the grace of God. That's what it is. And that's what it's gonna always be. Don't let that bank account blow your head up. It is the grace of God. Don't let that boss who called you into their office and told you, we got a promotion we want to give you. No, baby, it's the grace of God. I don't care how many sermons you preach around this world. I don't care how many solos you get to sing on stage. I don't care who calls you anointed. It is the grace of God that's allowing your Boston baked bean head to stand there and smile. Smile for me. Won't you just smile, y'all? Hey, it's because I'm smiling, because it's the grace of God. Let me keep moving and grooving through this word. By the way, I'm really just getting started. You know, I told you I was a little tired. I was a little sick before I got on. But all of a sudden, guess what? The grace of God gave me the strength to preach this word. Shout out to that grace. Verse 2 says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. The things that we have taught, the things that I have spoke on the underground, you have seen people in Pakistan. You have seen people in Uganda. You have seen people in India. You have seen people at the royal priesthood. It's reliable. See, Paul was very bold in what he was saying. Why? Because he said, you seen me do what I do. You seen me walk this out. It's reliable what I'm preaching to you. Why is it reliable? Because it's coming from the source of God. It's coming from the authenticity, word of God. What I'm telling you is so reliable. Extra, extra, read all about it. What I'm preaching to you tonight, you can take it to the bank. Shorty, what you think? Now teach these truths. So Paul, he begins. Now, look how now he's finished to give Timothy a job, a mission, a purpose for you guys who are looking for a purpose. I don't know my purpose. I just don't know what God want me to do. I don't know. I feel lost. I'm finna give you a purpose. Teach these truths to others, trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. There go your purpose. The things that you hear me teaching, the things that you hear your pastor teaching, the things that you hear Sister Williams or Brother Deacon or Deacon Willie or whoever it is, and they teach you these things, you're supposed to pass them on. You know, when you at your little dinner dates or whatever you want to call them, your little luncheons, your little brunchings, your little outings. These are opportunities when you at your job, when you skip skirt through traffic with your friends. These are opportunities where you can slide the word of God. Now, I love it when he says this to trustworthy people. My question to you, why are you even putting yourself in position to be around people who are not trustworthy? You shouldn't have anybody around you that's not reliable and is not trustworthy to receive the things of God. That should tell you they ain't on your level. That should tell you these people don't need to be around you. If you have to second guess, I don't think they're not ready for that. Man, they shouldn't even be around you like that. They shouldn't be in your inner circle like that. If you're not able to pass down what I'm telling you right now, if you're not able to go pass that down or pass that to your friends' friends, they really not that trustworthy. So why are they even in your circle like that? It's time to do some inventory before it's time to do inventory. You know, because people usually do inventory at the end of the year. But since we kingdom-minded people and we always 2 steps ahead of the game, because God is already 2 steps ahead of you. Well, God is the eternity steps in ahead of the game. But since we like him, we need to start doing inventory on our inventory. You need to start going through your Facebook. You need to start going through your contact list and start to see, how can I cut these losses out? I got too much weight holding my business back, holding my kingdom back, holding my marriage back, holding my parenting back, holding my ministry back. Who I need to cut off? You hear me? See, let me tell you, for people who talk that boss talk, you can't be scared to cut things go. That's what bosses do. They cut their losses and they ain't scared and they ain't apologizing for it either. So if you're not that type of person, you want to keep everybody around because you want to love everybody and you want to be cool with everybody and you want to share everybody energy, you ain't fit to be a boss. So go ahead and fill out this application and get in line. I told you I ain't coming to play no games today. I'm trying to call out the real soldiers. Why? Because the soldiers are needed all across the world. They need it in Uganda. They need it in Africa. They need it in Kenya. They need it in China. They need it in Pakistan. They need it in India. We need soldiers who gonna go up into these territories and say, "Where they at? Where they at? Where they at?" And ready to cut some demon's head off. Man, let me tell y'all. I have been, I have a, I didn't had a lot of times to go out and you know what I'm saying? You know that false boldness. You know, I used to have that false boldness, but if something was to pop off, I probably would have ran like a little, you know, when I was out there like that, I had that false boldness, that false, oh, I ain't scared of nothing. But let me tell you, man. This past trip God took me on to Uganda, I never forget. They had somebody on there. We was at this crusade. Thousands of people out there. My boy Micah testified to it. Why the somebody was up there preaching. God told me, "I want you to walk these streets, walk this whole field, and you pray over." Man, that boldness that came over me, because you gotta understand, it's dark out there and it ain't nothing but dirt roads, and I don't know where I'm at. We in the middle of nowhere. But the boldness that came over me to walk those streets just praying in the spirit of God, woo, it ain't nothing like it. It ain't nothing like it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's when that soldier's mentality come over. You like, man, it's down. It whatever happened, it happened. You feel me? That's what God, we want some soldiers like that who will tell you, lay your hands on somebody that you don't even know. You don't even know if they may got some disease or something, but you so caught up in the will of God that I'm ready to do whatever. You heard me? And I'm trying to tell you, that's who God calling. Soldiers. Soldiers. That's who you want protecting you right now. Think about what I, that's who you want protecting you right now. You want soldiers protecting you. You don't want no weak soldiers protecting you right now. If something was to pop off in the United States of America, you would want soldiers who ready to go to war to defend you. Right? So for the kingdom of God, what you think God want? To defend the faith, to defend his word, to defend his truth, to defend his holiness, to defend his righteousness. What kind of soldiers you think God want? To something that's never go past. See, this little world that we living in right now, contrary to what everybody thinks, contrary to how you look, I'm telling you, it's fading. As I'm talking right now, we are fading. Everybody who's outside of the will of God, their glory is fading. Let me say that again. Everybody who's outside of the will of God, their glory is fading. It may not look it right now, but check back in some time and you go see what sin do to a person's life. You can't live in sin and expect the glory to stay. Somebody tag that, please. Oh my God. Somebody write that down and put that on somewhere. You can't live in sin and expect the glory to stay. Holy Spirit, that's from the throne room. That's from the throne. I know that was from the throne. That was from the throne, God. Hey, Kuro, for real. That was from the throne. I felt it. I'm going to say that one more time because people think this glory goes stay. You cannot have a lifestyle of sin. I don't care how fine you is. I don't care how rich you is. I don't care how popular you is. I don't care how much influence you got. You cannot live in sin and expect the glory to stay. It won't happen. Anyways, let me keep moving and grooving through this word that I never love. Verse 3. Man, we just on verse 3. You see how much this word of God is? Just potent. Just so much. It just can go on and on. It can go on and on. Like the Energizer Bunny. It can go on and on. Just all day. I just love the word of God, man. It's my breakfast. It's my lunch. It's my dinner. It's my late night snack. My wife will tell you something different, but it's my late night snack. My wife last night, she made me a good old peanut butter sandwich. Ooh. Shout out to them hands that makes great peanut butter jelly sandwiches. Verse 3, endure suffering along with me. As a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Do you hear the commandment from God? Do you hear the commission? He's commissioning us right now. Endure suffering. Oh my God. Can we please bring back suffering for Christ? Here's the thing, my brothers and sisters. I think we want to skip this part. One thing me and my wife used to watch, we used to watch these Navy SEAL shows. Navy SEAL shows. We used to just love them. And what we used to like to watch about it is the boot camp. The 9-week boot camp they had to go through just to become a Navy SEAL. And then even after they became a Navy SEAL, they had to constantly train to stay up to par. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm praying, God, I pray that they're hearing this in their spirit. But before they even became a Navy SEAL, they had to go through a tough, suffering boot camp. Why did they have to do that? It was weeding out the weak. It was weeding out the weaklings. See, you got so many people around you right now because you don't make them suffer. I'm giving somebody some so you can weed out the weaklings. Make they flesh suffer, sister. Ooh. Hey, player, I know they all up on you, but make they flesh suffer. Make they will suffer. Make they desire suffer. Make that fleshly mindset that they have for you and them suffer. Put holiness up against it and watch them suffer. Put righteousness against it and watch them suffer and see if they can hold on and last through the trials, through the boot camp. We got to start learning how to suffer with Christ. What you mean by suffering? Your flesh go have to suffer. Your desires may have to suffer sometimes. Without saying no name, I was talking to somebody today, and man,
I can tell he's suffering. I seen him face to face, and he was telling, he moved out and he got his own apartment, and he haven't had nobody over for a couple of months, right? Y'all get what I'm saying? And he got the he's shaking. This is real talk too. It's hard for him. You know why? Because he's suffering right now. And see, people think they going crazy when that stuff happens. No. You're not going crazy. You're suffering for Christ. You don't need to go to therapy. You don't need to go sit on the couch and talk to somebody for an hour. What you should do is go in your closet and talk to God for an hour, especially if you're a man. You sitting on the couch and you 40 years old talking about something when you was three. Man, if you don't get up out that couch and go to your closet and pray, seek, fast, whatever you gotta do before God and get up out that therapist's face, you a soldier. Let me go ahead and take it back to the reality. Your soldiers that's protecting you, that's on the front line, you feel like they got time to be talking about something when they was 8 years old? No, they gotta protect you. These are things, listen to me, listen to me. I understand trauma. I understand all those things. You're talking to somebody who dealt with a whole bunch of trauma in his life. You're talking about somebody who had a rough upbringing. But when I meet God, when I talk to God, he triumphs all my trauma. He triumphs all my past, my stress. Shoes. I don't know about y'all, but meeting God is trauma. It's trauma for my flesh. It's trauma for my mind. It's trauma for my will. That's trauma enough walking with God. I don't have time to worry about all that other stuff. God asking me to do some things that, oh my God, I ain't never, ooh, wait, what is this? What am I saying? I'm talking to the man right now. Man, be careful of this world, this pagan society trying to, feminize you in such ways and have you sharing your emotions too much. Getting in touch with your feminine side and, man, please. Ain't nobody got time to be talking all the time. Share with me. So you should share and open up. Open up what? Man, you better open up this water and drink some water and go on about your business. And I'm telling you right now, don't no strong woman want to hear all that. She don't want to hear about all that. I'm just being real. I'm talking to the young folks now. I'm talking to the young man. Because I'm trying to tell you, I see it. I see what they trying to make y'all. I see that they trying to, everything that happens to somebody, therapy, mental health. Let me tell you why your health is going through so many mental issues. S-I-N. Sin. That's why you got so much mental health problems. You can't keep fornicating and think you ain't gonna have no problems. You can't keep smoking weed and thinking you ain't gonna have no problems. You can't be in that homosexual relationship and think you're not gonna have no mental health problems. What you mean? That's why you got those problems. And you going to somebody who probably got more problems than you, and you think they finna solve it? Man. You see how, but we so sophisticated. We so brilliant. We the information age. All this information, but we still don't know how to repent. We still don't know how to turn and seek God. We still don't know how, all this information, but all God want us to do is fall on our face. Help us, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm talking. I'm going to come in the presence of you, God, and just say, please forgive us. Please, God, have mercy on us. All this information, and God just said, those who want to call by my name will turn from their wicked ways. That's all he's saying. He made it so simple for us. He made it so simple, but there was a great song that said, but you rather make it hard. Loving you is like a battle. Getting back to this word that I never left, I think I was in verse 4. Yeah, I was in verse 3 because I was saying about endure suffering along with me as a good soldier. You see what I'm saying? Suffering, touch your neighbor and say, suffering, that's what makes you a good soldier. I don't care how many guns you got. I don't care how many bombs you got in your pockets or whatever, grenades. I don't care if you know how to fight. If you haven't learned how to suffer, it won't make you a good soldier. The qualifications of becoming a good soldier, my brothers and sisters, is suffering for a while. I suffer. I put my flesh, I put my mind, I put my will under the obedience of the word of God. And even though it may suffer me, even though it may pain me, I'm looking towards to becoming a good soldier. So when I step into the enemy's territory, because I'm a good soldier, I take the word and I begin to slice off necks. That's why David was able to kill soldiers like he was able to kill soldiers, because he was a good soldier. He had to suffer up under Saul. He had to suffer up under his brothers. He had to suffer. All through the hate, all through the trials and tribulations, before he got to the palace, read it, he had to suffer. And even when he got in the palace, he had to suffer too. Let's talk about our great Savior Jesus Christ. Read his life. The fact that he came down here to dwell amongst us mere man, he had to suffer. The fact that he had to take on this decaying body of ours, a body that worms, a body that worms. That should tell you something about our bodies. A body that worms will have a buffet on one day. Do you hear what I just said? That should tell you about our bodies. Worms will crawl all over it one day. Scarecrows will pick at it one day. That tells you about our bodies. Give me a thumbs up real quick, y'all, if y'all hear me good. Everybody hear me good? Okay, y'all hear me good? Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I don't want to be going in and out and things like that. I appreciate y'all listening to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground. Hey, verse 4. We still talking about soldiers. Look what Paul says to Timothy. Soldiers don't get caught up. Don't get tied up. Don't get all, entanglement in the affairs of civilian life. Tell somebody and say, you're a soldier, don't got time to be worried about who they doing this and who they knew and where we going here and where we, oh, man. A soldier don't got time for that. Why? Because he at war. Yeah, he trying to advance the kingdom. He on a mission. She on a purpose. Civilian life don't. Who gonna be the president for 2000? I don't know. I'm on a mission for God. Oh my God, he dropped out. What you think's go? I don't know. I don't get tied up in civilian life, civilian democracy. I don't get caught up in some man-made voting stuff. I don't care. Whoever the president, whoever my governor, I still got a purpose and mission for God, no matter who it is. I'm called to come take over for God. Be worried about all that. And I'm here to tell you, soldier, you don't have to worry about it. But I'm saying, what if he get in the office? Man, the prices gonna go up, and it's gonna be hard out here. The bread gonna get up, and the gas gonna get up, the eggs gonna be up, the cheese gonna be up. Man, please, why are you worried about that, soldier? Have you ever seen those who led the Lord begging for bread? Let me tell you something. This is how I know who a soldier is, too. If you listening to the words of man, or if you're taking on the words of man more than you taking on the word of God, you're not fit to be a soldier. What did God say? That's all I care about. That's all I'm bringing to a soldier. What did God say? Huh? Uganda, what did God say? China, what did God say? Pakistan, what did God say? Care what no governor say? Care what no president say? What did God say? And that's who we roll with, and that's what we talk about. While y'all talking about taxes, we talking about Timothy. What he say in Timothy, though? Didn't he say if we do this like that, though, right? Yeah. But he did. He told Moses too. Remember, he said, Moses, he said, do that, do that. Remember, he told Joshua, man, just march around. And he did it. That's what I'm on. And that's who I talk to. It, again, Mike, I just want to let you know, brother. Everybody you see on this call right now, few but soldiers. See, let me tell you something. The Navy SEAL, look, listen, y'all, listen. Check this out. You know, when they go on top missions, like when they wanted to go get Bin Laden, you know, it only be a few soldiers that go do that, right? Yeah. When it's a top secret mission, no, the whole army don't go. It's only a few soldiers, those who've been well trained. Those who we don't even know about, those who kind of like under they underground with it. You don't see their face that much. You don't see them out like that. But when it's time to go do that real thing, when it's time to really go kill some, they send soldiers like that. You heard me? So I'm telling you, when God ready to call somebody to a real mission, when he want people to go in them villages to cast demons down, when he want people to go into these countries that nobody heard about, oh, he calling them top soldiers, the Dundallas of this thing, baby. That's you. So that's why I gotta talk to you like this. That's why I gotta come and command you and inspire you. Quit getting entangled with these affairs of this world. Quit worrying about it. It don't have nothing to do with you. It's crazy that everybody talking about who's gonna be our next president, but at the same time cussing out their wife, beating on their wife. Cussing out their husband, disrespecting their husband, neglecting their kids, but we worrying about our next president? Man, please miss me with all that, man. We hypocrites, dog. That's so hypocritical to me. We worrying about the White House, but can't even take care of our house. We worrying about the White House, but can you see God's house? Where is that right now? Do you see what God's house at? But you worrying about who gonna be in the White House? Miss me with that, America. All I need y'all to do, America, is repent. Who cares who? I don't care who in the White House. If we don't repent towards God, it don't matter. How about his house? We need to start. Wait a minute. We need to start taking votes on who need to preach. You come down. Yeah, you come down. We didn't see your Instagram. You not up to par to preach this word. Come sit down, baby. Yeah. Oh, sister, come here, sister. You do you? Yeah, no. You can sing real good, but we just seen you do some things up there that's not. Come sit down. That's where we need to be. Where that's our democracy, the church. I can't believe I'm seeing believers getting entangled with this stuff going on. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. It blows my mind. That we got, you know, you starting to see sneaky Republicans come out in the church, sneaky Democrats coming out. They coming out. You see them too. And I'm a soldier. And I got my boy Antho. He a sniper. We finna start, bow, just get him up out of there. Corey, anybody in Atlanta, get him up out of there. Bow, get him up out of there. Uganda, Mike, if they, bow, get him up out of there. They ain't even gonna know where it's coming from either. Pray him out the church. Pray them out the church. Pray them out the church. These little sneaky politicians coming up in the church. Since when God ever spoke to a politician? Oh, my God. Oh, whew. Read your word. He speak to priests, prophets, preachers. Since when? Has he spoke to a president? America got y'all fooled. America got y'all really fooled. Oh, he's still speaking through a preacher. Oh, yeah, he is. But see, they didn't got y'all eyes focused. Let me keep moving. I'm saying some today. That's gonna last for eternity. I promise you. My kids' kids gonna be able to eat off what I'm telling you today. That's the real food. Instead of storing up food that's gonna rot or that roaches could get into, I need you to start storing up food that rats can't even touch. You know why you got people snitching on you? Hey, anyways, for them, they cannot please. So here's the thing, my brothers and sisters. The reason you don't need to get entangled with affairs of the civilian life is because then you would not, it says you cannot please the officer who enlisted them. You're not pleasing God when you do that. And in case you forgot, the reason we're doing what we're doing is to please God. Yeah, let me go ahead. I say it first. I tell you now, that's the only reason I do what I do. Because if it wasn't to please God, man, please. Come on. We likes to party. You suffering because you want to please God. That's it. We ain't doing this because we trying to be, we so holy. I'd say I'm going to speak for myself. I don't know. Y'all probably be that. And please teach me. But you're not doing this because you just that holy like that. Or you have a, you just woke up and just, I want to be holy. No. You have a desire, you just fighting to please God. You love him so much. You're so caught up. He's so caught up in his rapture of his love. That's why you just want to please him. That's why sometimes if you say something out there, you know, you may cuss or you may talk about somebody. This is how you know you want to please. You be like, ooh, sorry, God. Ooh, that's when you know you in that you in the vine with him. You know, yeah, but just cuss somebody out and you're like, ooh, God, sorry for that. Let me, ooh. You hurry up and quickly apologize. What that is, you caught up in the rapture of his love. You up under his wings now. Yeah, you just walking with him, talking with him every day. I don't know about y'all. Y'all ever be praying and then you forget about it, and then later on you be like, oh God, I remember, I knew it was something I wanted to tell you earlier on when I was in the car. Oh, don't you just love that relationship? When you could just come back to him and be like, oh God, I knew it was something I wanted to talk to you about earlier. You remember that, and you just begin to rattle off things to God. That's because you want to please him. I want my thoughts to please him. I want my desires to please him. I want my mind to please him. I want my goals to please him. I want the way I spend money to please him. The way I treat my wife, the way I treat my kids, the way I treat black people, the way I treat white people, racist folks, the way I treat Mexican people, Chinese people, I want to please them. That's why I'm enlisted into this call. That's why I preach the way I preach. It ain't to get people to, you know what I'm saying, tell me, oh, that was good. No, my brothers. No, my sisters. Truth be told, I'm not trying to be a perfect husband so my wife can tell people, oh, he's just a good husband. No, no, no. The first, which is good, by the way, but the first fun thing is I'm trying to please God. I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. When that is at the top of your list, civilian affairs, what people think, what people say, and what people doing, you can care less about. I promise you, if you allow that to take hold of you, pleasing God, your goals will be so outside of civilian life. Oh my God, that was from the throne. That was from the throne. Listen, I'm gonna say this again. If you allow pleasing God to become your main focus of life, you will have goals that are so bigger than civilian life. Civilians will look at you and be like, man, what y'all doing? How they doing that? You hear me? Man, how they get to do that? Yeah. Ooh, wee. Woo, that's what I'm talking about, God. Thank you, God. That's where I want us to get. You know what I'm saying? I want our goals to be out so outside of just the norm, so outside of what everybody doing, that then when they find out about what you doing, they like, why y'all? They don't even know what to say when they find out what you doing. All they can say is, "Oh, that's nice," because they don't even have the words. This is gonna have to be a to be continued. This is gonna have to be a to be continued. Cause man, we just on verse 5. You know? But verse 5. Let me just go to verse. I'm gonna go a couple of more verses, and I'm gonna let y'all Boston Baked Bean head go. Okay. I'm gonna let y'all Fruit of the Looms head go. I'm gonna let y'all Rice Krispie Treat here go. I'ma let y'all Nutty Buddy here. Cause I can keep going and going. Twinkie. Somebody, okay, keep on going. Come on, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Give me another one. Give me go ahead. Come on, keep it flowing. Come on, keep it flowing. Soldier, let me see if y'all have some waffle face. Come on, Corey, where you peanut butter? All right. That's what I'm talking about. Jelly juice. hey, oh man, that's what I'm talking about.
See, hey, they better be ready for a witty with it too, right? Yeah. Don't ever forget. That's just letting the world know. Don't ever get it twisted. Don't come for us, because we'll come for you. Okay, because we still got some Peter in us. What do you mean by that? We'll still cut your ear off every once in a while, Butterbean. We'll still cut your ear off every once in a while. Just cut your ear off. Check it out, verse 5. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. Ooh. Yeah. See, this prize that we try, how can you follow the rules if you don't read the rule book? How can you follow the rules if you don't study the rule book? I'm up under the assumption, and I'm gonna say this under the spirit of God, and I really believe this. I believe that there's good, sincere people who are trying to follow God, but just don't read the word. So they are out here doing things just off intellect, off their own righteousness. They don't even know the rule book. Again, they're trying to walk with God with civilian rules, with civilian currency. You're telling God to bless your, oh, you're praying to God to bless you with your civilian currency. That's how you think God go bless you. Through how much money you make. You see what I'm saying? You're thinking God go bless you with your civilian mindset. Your mindset is in civilian lifestyle. You got to come over here to kingdom heavenly mindsets in order to start walking with God like that. Your mind is so civilianized. I mean, it's really like, oh, this is what we do. You're a robot to the world. That's why when soldiers come into the army, the first thing they do is they strip them of their identity. Why? Because they want them to strip them of everything that they learned from the world and start to retrain them to become a soldier in the army that they're in. And I believe that there's a lot of people you haven't even you probably been quote unquote quoting that you're a believer for years, but you haven't yet went through the stripping process. That's a ton of believers. That's a ton of people who are claiming to be Christ-like. You have yet to been through the stripping process where God begins to strip you of your mindset, strip you of the way you talk, strip you of the way you spend money, strip you of the way that you work, strip you of the way that you live, strip you of the way that you preach, strip you of the way that you pray, strip you of the way that you set goals, strip you of the way that you travel, strip you of the way, I mean, totally strip you. The only time that you have gotten close to being stripped is when you go to the strip club, my brother. Crawford, how you doing, brother or sister? When you come in, can you go ahead and put it on mute? Well, let me mute it for you. Can I mute it for him? Okay, there we go. There we go. Okay. You know, I think there's somebody new. I don't know who that is, but welcome to the underground, the place to be, hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground. See, and that, you know, here's the thing. I don't know who that is, but I really well, I'm so glad that you're here. But see, I want to get to the point where, you know, people know how to come in. And I'm not talking about to the underground. I'm just talking about, oh, somebody talking about the word of God. Let me come in quiet. Let me tiptoe in. I'm speaking over the culture right now. I'm speaking over a generation. I'm talking about when we hearing that anything going on with the word of God, everybody just started getting nervous. You understand me? The fear of God has been stripped from America. The fear. The presence. Why? Because it's not in his people. How do we expect the world to fear him if we not fearing him? Well, what you mean we don't fear him? Why you live like that? Why you talking like that? Fear. That's what soldiers really come to establish. You think they come through that door when they was getting Bin Laden, they come through, hey, we come in the name of love. I come in the name of love. Hey, Bin, hey. Nah, they gotta come through, set up shop and let them know we come here to play no games. There's one thing that I had to the second time around. I remember the first time around when God called me to be a youth leader. I like to say youth leader because, you know, youth pastor. I don't know where we get that title from. But okay, I guess. When he called me to be a youth leader, I remember the first, I was like 22. My main goal, I wanted people to like me. I swear I was an insecure man, little boy. You know, probably ain't never had, you know, wanted to, everybody to like me and think I was cool and oh, he funny. And so I watered down and I always wanted to say the right thing and all that type of stuff. Well, you know, that led me to getting sit down for a long time. You see what I'm saying? And so God brought it full circle all the way back around. And this time around, I mean, he has established me as a man. And let me tell you, let me talk to the man real quick. Majority of the time, the role of a man is going to do unpopular things. That's just what it is, man. You're going to have to make unpopular decisions for your family. You're going to have to say no to your sweet, precious kids when mama, nice, cuddly, nurturing self may say yes. Guess who going to have to say no? You're always going to be the unpopular one as you begin to take on the role of a man. That's the role of being a man. You bring law and you bring order. And we're living in a world that loves chaos. So I want you to know it's going to be unpopular to be what? Just a man. I'm not even going to what you believe in. I'm not even talking about your color. I'm not even talking about how much money you make. I'm not even talking about how the way you deliver messages. Just being a M A N is going to be unpopular. So get ready for that. I'm here to tell you, future husbands, you may be getting in entangled with something because you haven't checked with the Holy Spirit yet. You're just checking out the body and you're just checking out what feels good. But I want you to know that you may be stepping into something that's going to strip you of your manhood. That's not going to accept the role of you being a man.
Let me tell you what a real woman is. I give you one clue of what a real woman is. She want a real man. if I was on the stage, I would have dropped the mic right there, though. That's the embodiment of a real woman. She's so real in her feminine. She wants somebody to be real masculine. She understands that. The roles are sneakily being reversed as we speak. And in order to get back to what we need to get back to what we need to be doing, you're going to have to be a soldier. Now, I'm standing on this. I be at work sometimes, y'all. People be making jokes or saying some stuff. Do you know how uncomfortable it is when they look at me and I just have a mug on my face? You know how intense it gets? I work in corporate America, by the way. Every day I got to deal with intense situations in the corporate office because I ain't laughing at that. Nah, I ain't finna nod my head to that. And I want you to feel it too. Yeah, I want you to feel the masculine in me to say, I don't agree with what you're talking about. And I don't even got to say nothing. See, because the role of a man, his presence, it brings, I guarantee you're going to understand what I'm talking about. I use this as an example. There were certain people that used to walk in the house when you was young. And you knew them when they was there. When mama came, it was like, hey. And everybody be, people be running around, toys be everywhere. But there was some when daddy came home, though. He didn't have to say nothing. It was just daddy on his way. Oh, and everybody get the what? Moving around, you know, picking up some things, folding up some clothes. It was just something about daddy on his way. That's the presence God gave the man. He brings order. He brings law. He brings structure, which is unpopular. I'm telling you right now, man, it's going to be unpopular, especially to your little kids. That's why they... Then you always, when you wanted to do something, who you went to? Mama. Go ask mama. Don't ask daddy, because he... Don't ask daddy. I'm telling you. I was in the prison Tuesday. I'm just chopping it up with y'all. I'm just chopping it up with y'all, giving y'all some real life game real quick. I'm at the prison Tuesday. We doing a book on authenticity of manhood. And I asked, we got over 80 prisoners up in there. I say, hey, let's raise your hand. Tell me something about your daddy. Do you know majority of them couldn't tell me nothing about their dad? And if they did, one of the things that they said, man, he was mean. And he didn't spare the water, he didn't spare the rod. It's not that we mean, it's just we have a role that we gotta play. We can't be soft like mama. We can't nurture you like mama. You know why? Because you're going to have a whole generation of what you're seeing now. Dudes who paint their toenails and fingernails. That's what you're going to have. So we need some men who just go raise up and in the spirit of the Holy Ghost hit some of these young dudes in their chest with this real, real hard. Manhood. Soldier up, soldier. We gonna die for this. We gonna stand on this. Nah, you can't have that. Why? Because that's what God, man, the first thing he created was man. And then he created the woman. These are the most important roles that they trying to mix up and confuse us on. Man, no. Wait. Everybody, hold up. Let's get back to our roles, man. And one role ain't important than the other. I don't even gotta, if you in the spirit, you gonna know that. I don't even gotta talk about that. But anyways, I don't know why I went there. I just wanted to talk to y'all about that. What should I end off on? I'm gonna end off on verse 7. Think about what I'm saying. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. That's a good thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah. So I have said some up under the authority of the Spirit this night. And you may agree or you may say, oh, I don't agree with that. But what I challenge you to do is pray to God and think about all these things I said. I don't know if you like the way I do. You probably say, if you hit, I don't like his delivery. He's so harsh. He don't speak in the love. I get that. I understand that. He not my style. I get that too. I understand I may not reach everybody like that. But can you at least take a moment and really think about all the things I said tonight? And read the word and see if it don't confirm. See if I'm a false prophet or I'm out here really speaking what thus says the Lord said. Think about it. All right? I pray that each and every one of you that's listening to this tonight begin to soldier up, begin to walk in the will of God for your life if you already haven't. I pray blessings over your life, spiritual blessing, heavenly blessings, physical blessings that you would need to start and finish the will of God. I pray peace over y'all life from the top of y'all head to the bottom of y'all feet. I thank y'all so much for using y'all pleasant ears tonight to listen to what thus says the Lord has to say. From everybody to Uganda, to everybody in San Antonio, to everybody in Atlanta, and to everybody who is here in Houston, and those in Pakistan who will be listening to this in the morning, I really thank y'all and I love y'all. Man, let's take over this world for the kingdom of God. It's wide open. All God need is soldiers. I appreciate you coming out to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground. A place to get into the word of God. What? So the word of God can get into you. And who am I? Man, I'm just the voice of one calling out saying, repent. Yeah, I know the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the underground. I'm out.